room this week, and I guess the topic that I'm discussing isn't strictly speaking contemporary in the sense that it's something which wasn't relevant 100 years ago or 500 years or 1,000 years ago, but it's certainly something which is relevant every single year. And that's the question, is it really a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim? So what I want to do is learn through the sugya, look at a number of answers to the question, some of them straightforward, some of them a little bit creative or imaginative, and see what we can do with this, and wonder whether it is appropriate for us to get drunk on Purim. There is, of course, I suppose, a contemporary aspect to it. Every year has its own particular challenges and set of circumstances. And, you know, maybe this year also has its own set of circumstances. I suspect that perhaps on the one hand, there might be some people who just, you know, would like nothing more than to get drunk on Purim and drown their sorrows, whereas there might be others who feel that after all the challenges that we've had over the course of the past year and the suffering that people have endured and the difficulties that society as a whole is still facing, that maybe it's inappropriate to get drunk. So let's see what it's all about. There's a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Zayin Amud Bet, that says as follows. Amar Rava, Mechayev Inish Livasume Befuraya, a person is obliged to become drunk on Purim, Ad Delo Yada Bein Aro Haman LeBaruch Mordechai, until he doesn't know the difference between Aro Haman, saying accursed is Haman, and Baruch Mordechai, blessed is Mordechai. Now, this term, livasume, the translation that I've brought up here is to become intoxicated, means to become drunk. And livasume is an interesting word. The Sonsino translates it as to become mellow on Purim. And I would say there's a difference between being mellow and being drunk or intoxicated. Intoxicated suggests that you're you know, that you're not aware of what's going on, that you're staggering around in some sort of stupor, whereas livasume imply, you know, or rather to be mellow, perhaps implies sort of just a sense of bonhomie, a sense of warmth, a fuzzy feeling. So it's not immediately clear, in actual fact, from the Lashon of the Gemara, exactly what's meant by the term livasume befuraya, that one should become basim on Purim. Does it mean that one should become drunk, almost legless as it were, or does it mean that one just needs to have that that fuzzy feeling? And obviously there'll be lots of important nafkaminas between the two ways of explaining it, and that will also reflect the way we understand what does it mean. Ad lo yada bein aro haman lebaruch Mordechai. From a straightforward perspective, that means, you know, a pretty severe state of intoxication, pretty drunken stupor, that you don't know the difference between Mordechai being the goody and Haman being the baddie. And if all you've got to do is become basim, is to become mellow, then what does it mean that you don't know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai? So let's bear those questions in mind. Then the Gemara tells us that an event, certain event that once happened. Rabba and Rabbi Zeira avdu Sudat Purim Bahadei Hadadi. So Rabba and Rabbi Zeira one time had Sudat Purim together. I said to my wife a few weeks back, now we better start thinking who can't we invite this year for the Purim Suda. Usually you start thinking who will we invite for the Purim Suda. This year we can't have anybody with us for the Purim Suda, but ideally, yeah, we often want to celebrate with family or friends, and Rab and Rabbi Zeira, two Amoraim, they made Purim Suda together. If some, they got drunk or mellow, kam Rabba shechatein Rabbi Zeira, and Rabba got up and slaughtered Rabbi Zeira. He killed him. So that would seem to indicate that they certainly got drunk rather than just mellow. Lamachar, the next day, by Rachame Vachaye. So Rabba regretted what had happened when he came to and he looked round and saw what he'd done. He davened to Hashem for mercy, and miraculously Rabbi Zeid was revived. Lashana, the next year, Amarle, Rabba said to Rabbi Zeira, Neite Marvanave Sudat Purim Bahade Hadate. Come and let's have Purim Sudat together again. It was Gevaldik last year. Last year it was such a good Purim Sudat. It was really wonderful. I'd really like to repeat that Purim Sudat this year again. Please let's have Purim Sudat together. Amarle, Rabbi Zeira said to him, Lo b'chol shatav shata mitrachish nisa. We can't always expect a miracle to happen. Last year, you know, I got away by the skin of my teeth. You know, don't you remember what happened last year? Might have been all right for you, might have been a lot of fun for you, but you killed me last year. I don't want to have to repeat that experience. So we see that Rabba wanted to repeat the experience. Rabbi Zeira said, no way. In any event, what we're certainly seeing from this passage in the Gemara, a notion that there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv, mechayev inish, there's an obligation for a person to become intoxicated on Purim to the degree that they don't know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And then we see an event where Rabba killed Rabbi Zeira as a result of getting drunk on Purim. And we see the following year, Rabbi Zeira said, hold on, let's not go through that again. So, our first question is it really demanded of us that a person should become so drunk on Purim that they don't know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai, and particularly the notion that, you know, such terrible things, that you could come to bloodshed as a result of getting drunk? And we know that, you know, when people are drunk, accidents happen, people do things that they regret. Every year, unfortunately, we hear stories about people who got drunk on Purim, extremely drunk on Purim, and, you know, became very ill or endangered their lives, endangered other people's lives on Purim. Is that really what the halacha is asking of us? So undoubtedly, there are those who say yes. There are certainly those who say, yeah, that's exactly what it means. However, there are those who disagree. I want to start off by bringing a passage from the Sefer Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvodah, which was written by a Mekubal in the 18th century, an Ashkenazi Mekubal that's from Lita. And he says as follows. It's very important, I think, to see his take on it. If a person drinks alcohol just a little bit more than they used to. You often on a Shabbat have a glass of wine. On Purim Suda you have a second glass of wine, but not more than that. Husamech v'tov leiv, that makes you happy and puts you in a good mood. V'chol dagotav nishkachu mimenu, and you stop worrying about things. V'shoreb libo rak chedva v'simcha, and you're just in a good mood, you're happy. And therefore you fulfill the requirement of the Pasuk, days of happiness and rejoicing. And also, just with drinking that modest amount, you can fulfill what the Gemara demands of us, that we should get drunk, to the degree that you don't know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Now, how can that be? If you're just having two glasses of wine, either you've got a very low tolerance level, or you're still going to know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. But the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvodah says, Ki achush ta'et al zech sheshotem ma'at yotem ikzeh hergeilo, when a person drinks just a little bit more than they're used to, v'nichnas mashkeh ha'mashakeh b'rosho, and the alcohol gets to them, nichnas yayin yetzeh sod, and they lose some of their inhibitions. And you say things that you wouldn't normally say. And, you know, when you're blabbering on so much, you know, there'll be certain that, you know, you might say the wrong thing. Because just if you're a little bit intoxicated, you can make mistakes. So you can say things that are backwards, you can get things wrong. And you could make such a mistake. Meaning that, well, he says, we're not talking about a magnificently high threshold of getting drunk. We're talking about, you know, you have two glasses of wine. A person has two glasses of wine at a meal. You know, you want to be a little bit careful about what you say. That's the point at which your husband or your wife starts, you know, just keeping an eye on you to make sure that you don't say anything that you don't mean. It's very easy when a person's had two glasses of wine that, you know, they'll get something a bit confused. You know, they'll say it was a Gemara shir I was in, when actually it was a Chumash Rashi shir I was in. Or they'll say it was, it was Rabbi Mervis that said something, but actually it was Rabbi Sachs who said something. Whatever it is. We're not talking about that you can't assess the difference between the wickedness of Haman and the greatness of Mordechai. You don't need to get that drunk. You just need to be a little bit confused, not thinking quite straight. And that's what the Baal Shoresh Avodah says there. So that's a starting point, that in actual fact you don't need to get significantly drunk. Now the Meiri says that in actual fact, looking at the passage in the Gemara, it's inconceivable that really Rabba killed Rabbi Zeira. What does it mean, Shachate, when the Gemara says that Shachate the Rabbi Zeira, he killed him? Perish Mlashon Sachita. The shin and the sin are interchangeable. And it shouldn't be read as shachate, that he killed him, el sachate. But he hugged him, he squeezed him. That means he squeezed him, gave him a big bear hug. You know, Rabba was feeling in such a warm-hearted mood. It wasn't that he tried to kill anybody. It wasn't that he picked up a knife, chas v'chalila, and stabbed Rabbi Zeira. That would be terrible. Here he loved everybody. He came, he thought, coronavirus doesn't exist any longer. I don't need to worry about social distancing. He gave Rabbi Zeira a big hug, and it was such a big hug. He squeezed the life, or almost squeezed the life out of Rabbi Zeira. And that he relieved him, revived him, doesn't mean to say that he'd been killed. It means that he'd been made ill. He'd been sort of, you know, perhaps squashed so that he lost his breath and fainted or whatever it was. And he davened that Rabbi Zeira should recover. So it certainly doesn't mean that he was killed. In any event, how do we pasken? How do we pasken? Is it a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim or isn't it? So if you look at the Baal HaMa'or, one of the Rishonim, written on printed on the same page as the Rif, the back of the Gemara. So the Baal HaMa'or quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim, another of the Rishonim, who said, Me'ahuv did the kam Rabba shechate l'Rabbi Zeira. From the fact that the Gemara tells us this story about Rabba killing Rabbi Zeira, L'shana amale tanaved, and it says that next year he wanted to make Purim Suda with him again. Id chayle, and that Rabbi Zeira said, I'm not going to go through that again. Id chayle meimra de Rabba. We can see that Rabba's statement that one should become drunk on Purim has been dismissed. We don't hold with it. That's why the Gemara is telling us this case. That Rabba said, and there's a bit of a different traditions in the Rishonim, whether it was Rabba, etc. But Rabba said, you've got to become drunk on Purim. And then we see that Rabba killed Rabbi Zeira. Why is it telling us that Rabba killed Rabbi Zeira? To tell us, in actual fact, even though he said to get drunk on Purim, it's better that we don't get drunk on Purim. For late Hilchot Kavate, and the halacha is not in accordance with Rabba, for love shapir dami lemaya vatachi, and it's not right to get drunk. So Rabbeinu Ephraim, quoted by the Baal HaMa'or, held that in actual fact, there is no din to get drunk on Purim. It's true that the Gemara quotes Rabba as saying that, but the Gemara itself demonstrates that that's not how we pasken. However, most of the Rishonim seem to say that, in actual fact, we should take this at face value. And there is such a mitzvah. If we look in the Torah, in Siman, Taf Reish Tzadik Hei, it says, Mitzvah Laharbot Bisudat Purim, you should have a lot to eat at your Purim Suda, V'tzarich Sheyishtaker, and you need to get drunk to the degree, Ad Sheloi Yedah Ben Aroh Haman Baruch Mordechai, so that you don't know the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Now, it's still problematic for us. Why should it be that, Chazal and, were very negative about getting drunk on at any time? If we look through Tanakh, we'll see that drunkenness is not something that's admired. Noach got drunk and we see what happened to him with his sons. We see that Lot got drunk. We see what happened to him with his daughters. Drunkenness, and we see new number of cases in Nach as well of getting drunk. It's not something to be admired. So the Eliyahu Rabba asks, how can it be that Chazal said there's a mitzvah to get drunk when getting drunk is something which is regarded so negatively by Chazal? So his answer is because the miracles of Purim came about as a result of drunken feasts. Okay, first of all, we find that Achashverosh was having his drunken feast and he wanted Vashti to come and dance, and because he was shikah, he insulted her and he got rid of her, and she didn't want to come. She found it demeaning or whatever it was, and he deposed her and banished her. So therefore, space was made for Esther as a result of drinking. And then Haman was unmasked at a Mishteh HaYayin. So because of the role that Mishteh HaYayin, the feasts and the drinking took in the Purim story, therefore on Purim we commemorate that by drinking and getting inebriated. And it's worth noting that according to the Eliyahu Rabba, it's to do with the Mishteh HaYayin, it's to do with the feasts of wine that took place in the times of Mordechai and Esther. And in actual fact, there are some poskim that say that, no, the mitzvah to get drunk on Purim is davka with wine. If you're drinking beer or whiskey, then that doesn't tick the boxes. It's true that you became drunk, but you didn't do it with wine. And wine is what you're supposed to drink, because that's how the miracle occurred. In any event, the Torah doesn't qualify it. The Torah just says, mitzvah to get drunk on Purim, least it's at face value. You're really supposed to get shikah, so they don't know the difference any longer between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Clearly, the Rambam was uncomfortable with that. If we look at the Rambam in Perek Bet of Hilchot Megillah, Halacha Tetvav, he says, Ketzad Kovatz Udazu. So what is the nature of this, what is the nature of this Suda? Sheol, so that we're talking about the Purim Suda. Sheyochal Basar, that you need to eat meat. Vitakein Suda Na'ah, Kefim Ashitim Sayadot. And you should have a nice meal, that you can, whatever you can afford. If you can afford, roast duck, then that's good. If you can only afford, berekas, then that's, meat berekas, according to the Rambam, then that's also fine. But, if you can afford the roast duck and you just sit down to some berekas, then, that's not proper. V'shote yayin, and you drink wine, ad sheyishtakev yiradein b'shichrut, and you drink wine until you get drunk, v'yiradein b'shichrut, and as a result of getting drunk, you fall asleep. So the Rambam's telling us two very important things here. Number one, and it's easy not to pick up on this, but we have to see the context of where the Rambam's bringing this halacha. The Rambam is bringing this halacha in the context of Sudat Purim, of having the Purim feast. So according to the Rambam, to get drunk on the night of Purim, you don't seem to be achieving anything halachically, because the mitzvah of Purim Suda isn't fulfilled at night. It needs to be fulfilled during the day, so there's no reason to get drunk at night. Also, even during the day, there's no point in drinking not part of the Suda. As far as the Rambam is concerned, it's part of the chiyuv of the Purim Suda is to drink to that degree. It's not independent of the Purim Suda. But the other and perhaps more important thing in the Rambam is his definition of what it means, ad delo yada, until you don't know the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. He says that you drink enough that you'll get drunk and fall asleep. Ah, and as we're going to see in a moment, once you fall asleep, you don't know the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. You're dead to the world. You don't know anything at all. You're asleep. So the Rambam is clearly not saying that you have to get, you know, properly drunk, that you're staggering around. Again, just an extra glass of wine that makes you sleepy. While everybody's chattering around right at the table, you can lean back in your chair and doze off, and then you fulfill the mitzvah of ad delo yada. That's the way the Rambam seems to understand it. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, that is the way the Rama formulates it as well. The Rama, the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Bet, the Mechabe says, Chayim v'nishle v'sumei b'furaya t'lo yada b'in Aroh Haman v'Baruch Mordechai. He says it's just straight out that you need to become drunk in a way that you won't know the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. But then the Rama adds, v'yesh omrim, they're those who say, t'ein tarik lishtaker kol kach, you don't need to become so drunk. El asher yishte yotel milimudor, you drink a bit more than usual, the Yashain, and then you go to sleep, and Mitoksha Yashain in your Debein Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Then as a result of being asleep, you don't know the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So that's a Yesh Omrin. The Rama's not saying that's what the Mechaber says. He's saying, he's not saying that's what everybody holds, but he's bringing this as a second opinion. And then the Rama says, very importantly, Echad Hamarbe Echad Hamamit, whether you have a lot to drink or just a little bit to drink, doesn't make a difference. Provided that your intention is for the sake of heaven. If a person is getting drunk on Purim just because they want an outlet for all their frustrations, or because they've had a difficult year and they just want to drown their sorrows, then that's not the purpose of drinking on Purim. Likewise, if a person abstains on Purim, not because he's concerned about his dignity, or he wants to be able to bench properly, or that he just, you know, that finds that it's repulsive for an Orthodox Jew to wander around in a drunken stupor, but it's just because he's a person who prefers Tisha B'Av to Purim and is a grumpy old soul who likes to walk around with a long face. So they also haven't, ticked any boxes, because that's not L'Shem Shamayim. But if a person gets drunk on Purim because they want to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha in that way, and that's, they're seeing it as a religious duty, okay, so that's laudable. And likewise, if a person says, I'm not getting drunk on Purim, L'Shem Shamayim, not because I don't value the halakha, but because I value my dignity, I value my clear head, I value being able to learn and speak Torah properly. So then that's also fulfilling the halachic requirements. So the Rama has recognized the legitimacy of both positions. Are there any other ways of understanding this requirement to get drunk? So far we've said the one end of the spectrum, we've got the Tor and other Rishonim who indicate that it just means getting properly drunk. We shifted, we had the Rambam who says it doesn't mean getting drunk at all, it just means getting sleepy and falling asleep. And then we had in the middle, we saw the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvodah, who said that it's, you know, just getting a little bit muddled, befuddled as a result of drinking. Let's see what the Taz says in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz gives two interesting explanations. So one explanation here. It says, "Ulandiu dati lefarish b'derech zeh tzarich adam latet shevach lo yitbarach al hatovah kfula sha'asa imanu." So on Purim, we've got to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the double kindness that Hashem has done for the Jewish people. Ha'achatu puranu shevihu yitbarach al haman. One was the downfall that happened to Haman. Ve'ilunit barich Mordechai elahayanit solim kol Yisrael dayenu. And to be honest, even if Mordechai hadn't been promoted, so long as Haman was gotten rid of, so that would have been good enough for us. Elashe biruchol Mordechai b'gdula ma'od. But in actual fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Mordechai that he was promoted as well, and that was amazingly good. So until we don't know the difference between, you know, what are we more excited about? Are we more excited about the fact that Haman was deposed? Or are we more excited about the fact that Mordechai was promoted? You know, without Haman being deposed, Mordechai couldn't have been promoted. But, you know, Mordechai's promotion was gewaldic. So which one should we be more happy about? And, you know, it might be quite clear to us now, but certainly when you've drunk a bit, you're not able to make that cheshbon. V'akavana mita amar ad delo yada. Michlal shekodim shichru shelo yada. V'natan shevach al zeh. Bazen it kavnu shelo yafsik liten shevach al zeh besimcha. So the Taz is saying what it basically means is that till you get to that point of not knowing which kindness was greater, then you need to carry on drinking and giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you've reached that point, you can stop giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Taz says, again, it's not knowing a fine distinction between the greatness of what happened with Mordechai and what happened with Haman. Let's look at the Eliyahu Rabba. The Eliyahu Rabba says, Da'aru Haman and Baruch Mordechai Shavim Bigmatria. Oh, have you ever thought about this? The Gematria of Aru Haman and Baruch Mordechai is exactly the same. Try and work it out at your Purim Suda. But it's 502. Certainly if you're doing the maths in your mind, if you had a bit too much to drink, we're not talking about that you're staggering around, but you've had two or three glasses of wine, you couldn't learn a sugya of Gemara, and you're in a good, happy mood, and every time you start trying to do the gematrias, you get confused, and you've just worked out what Haman is, and you put that to one side, and now you're working out the Aror, and the Aleph is what, and is there a Vav, isn't there a Vav? Once you can't do the maths easily, you've reached the necessary stage. The Shikha Bekalto Ebekeshbon, it's easy to get muddled up. The Yesh Omrim, and there are those who say, Shepiutaya Sha'al Habayit Echad Onin Aro Haman Val Bayit Echad Baruch Mordechai. There was a certain piyut, a poem, like a zemer that they used to sing or say at the Purim Suda. And at the end of one line you'd say Aro Haman, at the end of the second line you'd say Baruch Mordechai. You know, like the piyutim, you know, we have perhaps, you know, Yamin Raim Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yonok Alam Ba'ed. You've got to keep up with the lines to know what you're supposed to be saying now. If you take your eye off the page, you'll lose it. So here also, you know, maybe it went to a very fast tune. Whatever the tune was, moved very fast. And again, if you had a bit too much to drink, you can't keep up with it. So it's notable that, you know, both the Eliyahu Rabba and the Taz seem to be going in the same tradition as the Rambam, meaning they're not comfortable with the notion of saying that a person should get drunk on Purim. You know, they're staggering around. That's it's inconceivable to them. That's what the halacha really wants from us. And therefore, they're looking at imaginative ways, if you like, or creative ways of understanding what it means, Chai v'nish livasume b'furaya. Rav Moshe Sternbach in Tshuvot v'Hanhagot, no, in Mardim Asmanim, addresses this question as well. He makes a number of interesting observations. His first observation, he says, is why is it nowadays we don't observe this halacha? So it's just, I found it quite interesting that he said, Pashto, you know, we don't keep this. And I have to say, you know, it's one of these things which is inconceivable to my mind that, you know, the Chafetz Chaim really got drunk on Purim, that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach really got drunk on Purim. I know that Moriv Rabbi Harav Lichtenstein, Moriv Rabbi Harav Amital, Zichronom Livracha, they didn't get drunk on Purim. It's, you know, the real Gedolim, is it conceivable they really got drunk on Purim? Maybe they got a bit merry, maybe they had a couple of glasses of wine, but they would have become drunk to the stage where they really don't know the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai is inconceivable. So why should that be? So Rav Moshe Sternbach gives two answers to the question. One answer, he says, is what does it mean ad delo yada? So in Hebrew, and certainly in halachic Hebrew, when we talk about ad, you have to do something ad up to a certain point. There's often a question in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, does it mean ad v'ad bichlal or ad v'lo ad bichlal? Meaning, does it mean up to and including or up to and not including? Sometimes it means one, sometimes it means the other. So Rav Moshe Sternbach says what it means, what our Gemara means, chai v'nish livesume b'furaya, ad delo yada, person is obligated to get drunk on Purim until he doesn't know the difference, means, but not that far. Not up to, but not including that point. You still need to be able to tell the difference between Aroh Haman and Baruch Mordechai. That's, once you've gone past that, that's not what the halacha is asking for you. That's, means you can't get away with not drinking anything, but you need to drink ad lo yada up till that point, but stop before you get to that point. That's his first observation. Second observation is, why is there an obligation to get drunk? Says, based on the pasuk. The pasuk says that Purim was established as Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha, days of feasting and simcha. And he says in olden times, as evidenced by Achashverosh, what was a royal mishteh? A royal mishteh was debauchery. It was everybody getting drunk. It was, full of people wandering around in drunken stupors and vomiting. Just like was the case, in ancient Rome, probably in ancient Greece, and probably at Henry VIII's table as well. Once upon a time, a royal feast was a drunken affair, and therefore a mishteh was a drunken affair. Nowadays, a royal feast is not a drunken affair, and therefore a mishteh is not a drunken affair. We have to fulfill mishteh as it is today, and if it's a mishteh today is not drunken, therefore we don't need to get drunk. So that's what Rav Moshe Sternbach says. I want to finish, though, with comments of the Kolbo. Kolbo, one of the important halachic rishonim, who says as follows. The chayav adam livesume b'furaya, person is obligated to become drunk on Purim, lo sheyishtaker. It obviously doesn't mean that a person should get drunk. Shashikrut isugamo. Because getting drunk is totally osa, totally against the din. There's no greater aveira than getting drunk. Getting drunk can lead to sexually immoral behaviour, can lead to shvichut damim, drunk driving can lead to people being killed. Getting drunk is a terrible thing. What it means is you should drink a little bit more than usual. So that you're able to be happy. And to make poor people happy as well. And when they come to you, you can comfort them. And speak nicely to them. And that is real simcha. Real simcha is not about you dancing on the table. Real simcha is about you making other people happy. Okay, that's great. But what about ad delo yada? How's the Kolbo going to deal with that? So I think the answer is as follows. Person sitting there at his Purim Suda. Person sitting there at Purim Suda, and in better years than this, You've got spielers coming, you've got people knocking on your door, people coming collecting, people who want their spirits lifted. You're sitting there, person comes in. You look at them, I don't like this person. Never comes to shul very often. That person's not frum. The person's not good. The person's lazy. The person is work shy. Whatever it is, you don't warm to them. However, if you drink a bit on Purim, then everybody comes in is your brother. You like everybody. You care about everybody. You don't look at the person and say, oh, is he an Aro Haman or is he a Baruch Mordechai? He's a Jew. He's a fellow Jew or she's a fellow Jewess. This is a Jewish person. I love you all. That's what you're supposed to be saying. That's what it means. Ad delo yada bein Aro Haman le Baruch Mordechai. It's not about being so drunk that you can't tell the difference. It's being fuzzy spirited. It's having that warmth, that bonhomie that I mentioned at the beginning, is going to make you like every Jew that comes into your home on Purim. And that is what you're supposed to do, because it's Yemei Mishter v'Simcha. And Simcha is about sharing that joy with other people as well. So I think that's really what the halacha is looking for from us. It's important to be sameach. It's important to rejoice and be happy. If drinking alcohol, drinking wine is something unpleasant for you, then I'm sure you don't have to do that on Purim. If it's pleasant for you, then there's a mitzvah of Simchat Purim. But to do it in a way which, as the Ramah says, so long as what you're doing is for the sake of heaven. And I think that these comments of the Kolbo are very, very powerful, meaning, I think it really does mean that any Jew that you encounter should be your friend on Purim. So I wish everybody a Purim Sameach. It'll be a rather different Purim this year to other Purims. But la'yudim ha'yitar rav simcha v'sason v'ikar kein tiyeh lanu. So thank you all for joining us. Next week, we've got a share on the topic of halachic approach to adoption. That's just as a contemporary halachic topic. So good night to one and all.